Stanley's written extensively on library technology and the demographics of academic librarianship. And this says, he frequently says mean things about information literacy. And I hope we'll learn more about this in his talk entitled Strange New Librarians, and Especially Canada. Welcome, Stanley.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me throughout? I am just amazed at the turnout here so early in the semester. It occurred to me as I was driving down here from Rochester yesterday that at our library, the reference librarians have us so well trained that nothing like this could possibly happen within the first 3 weeks of the beginning of the school year. And so I'm going to go back and report on your admirable flexibility in this regard. What I have in mind to talk to you about today is something that I'm guessing is not going to actually be new to any of us, because I think that as we look around us in this room or in your libraries, we see that there are big changes happening in regard to who library staff are and what kinds of things they do. And so the sort of contribution that I have, I think, is that I have this access to this demographic data that allows me to actually put numbers behind the kinds of things that we see around us every day. With that, I'm going to I did this. I'm going to start with, you know, I've been doing these presentations for 15 years in one way or another, and this, the idea of the oldest profession, I mean, this never, you know, it's worked its way into every presentation I've ever done. But the situation has actually gotten kind of worse in recent years in such a way that I just thought you might be interested to see that the U.S. government keeps, the current population survey keeps data on professions, demographic data, and they group librarianship among 129 other professions. The total group is something like 21 million people across the country. And among those 129 professions, librarianship is actually number 5 as being the oldest of profession in the data. You'll also find psychologists there. I don't know what's... Actually, podiatrists. What is happening? I don't know a thing about podiatry, but, you know... Judges. Judges are easy to understand because you have to be a lawyer, generally speaking, for some period of time before... And then marine architects. I think this is a profession in the process of dying because there are very few of them. But you see, this is really, in essence, you wouldn't choose to be in this company. On the other hand, there was a major workforce planning report that the U.S. government did in 1975 called Library Manpower. And one of the things that it said there was that librarianship was older than most other professions. And so, on the face of it, if librarianship was older in a stable, predictable way over time, then there would be, you know, there would be essentially nothing to talk about. But that's really not the case. What's actually happening is that we're aging very quickly. And before I begin with this, though, I want to make sure everyone understands how these graphs work, because if you don't, then you won't understand anything that I have to say today. The way to read this chart is to say, sort of picking this point that's up here, you would say that in 1986, something like 21 or 22% of the population was in the 35 to 39 age cohort. So this is the way the ARL population looked in 1986, and then 4 years later. 4 years again, 4 years again, this time 2 years, and here we are in 2005. What you see here is extremely unstable. It's a very unusual kind of curve for a population that includes 9,000 people. In principle, you would expect that if we were hiring people all along, that the curve would stay more or less the same. But in fact, what's happening is that the population of academic librarianship is aging at almost the rate that individuals age. And this is why, this is not healthy. So you might say, well, you know, there's the baby boom. Maybe this is just the baby boom. Well, that's actually not what's happening. It's part of what's happening, but it's not what's happening. Here we're back to the U.S. government data, and I think that this graph is a good proxy for the effect of the baby boom on comparable professions. And so you see a real marked aging in the 2005 curve. But going back to that ARL curve, you can see that it's just a dramatic difference. It's almost a mirror image one graph to the next. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is that librarianship starts off being different in an important way, and something certainly is going to happen. The first thing that's going to happen is that we are going to experience high retirement rates. That there's no guesswork involved with this. We know that year after year, there's only about 3% of the population age 65 and over, 3% of our population is 65 and over. That happens year after year. It's a fairly stable number. So we know that we are right now at the beginning stages of a period of very high retirement, and it's going to get higher until about 2015. What happens when people retire inevitably is that some portion of those positions are refilled, and they can only be refilled really with people who are younger than the people who are leaving. And so we actually have a youth movement, and I'll have more to say about that in a bit. The last point has to do with whether the transition we're facing in terms of the turnover of staffing in our libraries is going to constitute a crisis or not. And I'm going to come down strongly on the side of saying no, that what we have is an important transition, an important one to be mindful of, but not one that's likely to threaten our ability to do our work. This slide is the title of an article that I have coming out in the ARL bi-monthly report. It's going to come out soon. This is my version of the title. I thought the subtitle was funny. They didn't. So you will not see the subtitle in the article. Let me show you what that was supposed to refer to. What you can see here in the 35 to 39 age cohort is it constitutes a bit of a rise in the number of in the percentage of the population in that age cohort. The reason why I would think that this is something not just an aberration in the data is that we've done a series of projections on the ARL population, and which show pretty conclusively that ARL can expect a pretty substantial youth movement extending out until 2020. The problem with our youth movement is that it's mostly in these two age cohorts, which are kind of arguably not young. There's a reason for this, I think. This is speculation on my part, but I think that there's something kind of serious underlies this, and that is that over the course of the last, say, 30 or 40 years, we've seen a time when young women have more options in terms of career path and educational opportunities and so on, in such a way as to decrease the extent to which female-dominated professions like librarianship attract young women to the workforce. The odd thing here is that that doesn't mean that librarianship becomes less female-dominated, but it does mean that we attract fewer young women, and that's an important source of youth. So when I say our youth movement isn't what it used to be, what I mean is that I can't see culturally how we could possibly get back to as young a population as we had in 1986. Okay. will there be a shortage? There is a major workforce study being conducted by the IMLS and North Carolina at Chapel Hill. It's $1 million grant, and they've got all sorts of experts, people who are more expert than I am, because I am not a demographer or a labor force expert economist. The IMLS study has nonetheless pretty well decided, it seems to me, from reading what's available, that there will be a shortage of librarians in the coming years. And I don't believe that that's actually going to be the case. I think that anyone who does think that there's going to be a shortage needs to consider the following points. The first is that there are far more people in library education programs now than there were 20 years ago. Here I'm talking about going from 4,000 to over 26,000 people in 2003 who were enrolled in library education programs. Now, that doesn't mean that we have 26,000 new graduates per year, so it's going to be something less than that. But the point is that we have fewer library schools, but enrollment has just exploded. The next point is that if we're thinking about the supply of labor, we all know that library schools are sort of declining, really declining in terms of their impact on who gets a library job. We have something like 23% of ARL libraries now have 23% of the population does not have a library degree now, and that's a figure that has increased 35% just since the year 2000. So there's no reason to think about library school as being the sort of source of our future staff. If you're thinking about new professionals, for example, in our libraries, well, the collected 115 or so ARL libraries hired 400 new professionals in 2005. This is not the stuff of huge demand. And the next is just a purely anecdotal sense that I have. You can tell me if you're having a different sort of experience here, but I make a point of contacting my human resources, ARL human resources people, friends across the country from time to time to see whether folks are experiencing shortages or difficulty in getting pools. And what I found is that yes, there's difficulty in getting pools for very specialized kinds of positions, and there's, I think, a growing sense that IT is becoming another hard job to fill these days. But otherwise, the consensus is pretty sound that pools around the country are very healthy right now. This last question, is it possible to have a shortage in a profession with a one-year master's degree? Sometime after the 75 library manpower study, the U.S. government was asked again to repeat the study to see what had changed. And the government declined, and they declined for this reason. And I really think that it's a compelling question whether well-paying, good-conditioned kind of jobs like library jobs tend to be whether the shortages can exist given that the training period is so short relative to other professions. Okay. Another point that sort of underscores the sense that I have that we are not really facing a crisis situation has to do with Canada, and here's where the Canada part of my title comes in. Throughout the data that I've got from 1986 forward, the population in Canada, the ARL population, has been markedly older than the U.S. population. In 2000, there's something like 56% are 50 and above, compared to 47% in the U.S. And this was just typical. I mean, it just happened year after year. I never knew why it was happening. But that's the way it happened until 2005, when suddenly the Canadian population got substantially younger. The portion of the population under 35 in Canada doubled between 2000 and 2005. The number of people doubled. But all of this happened without a single reference in our literature. I couldn't find even any kind of discussion among Canadian librarians about this changeover happening. And this is part of what leads me to believe that in fact, when I say Canada's older, they're really just kind of 5 years ahead of the United States. I think that we are going to experience this. I don't know if it'll be a doubling, but it'll be a substantial increase in the number of our colleagues who are under 35 in the very near future. But that it will happen kind of noiselessly, seamlessly. Okay, so if this transition that's about to happen isn't going to be shocking, then, well, it's still an important transition to understand and know about. I've taken a phrase from Jim Neal, an article, I think it's called Raising Wolves, it was in the Library Journal. I'm going to give this slide set. I've already given it to Eric, and Eric's going to post it and make it, because there's going to be some citations, but you don't have to worry about actually copying anything down. Okay, so this article talks about the emergence of non-traditional library professionals. Reading from the slide, you can see that what we're talking about is IT people, fundraising, publishing, instruction, technology. We're talking about here about jobs that by and large just did not exist 20 years ago, or if they existed, they didn't exist in the library. Jim Neal says is that feral professionals bring to the academic library a feral set of values, outlooks, styles, and expectations. I think all of that is true, but the demographic data allows us to sort of flesh out how these people are different. Feral professionals, they're not like us. The chances are that we've got lots of feral professionals here, so who's us? Us is me, really, when you get down to it, because I'm a traditional librarian, very traditional. So here are the key ways in which they are not like us. First of all, taking the people who fill these positions and isolating in terms of age, they're much more likely to be under 35. It's such a strong correlation that it really sort of illuminates everything else that we know about them. We could almost say that feral professionals are young people. The rest of these attributes, I've already talked about task in terms of the kinds of work that they do in the library. I think it's important to point out that they tend not to have library degrees, and none of them do, because there are still 20, 30, 40%, I can't remember the number, who actually do have library degrees. But there's a reason why we're not calling these people feral librarians, because they don't come to us with a library background. They are also unusually male. Overall in the ARL population, you've got a 70-30 split, 70% women, 30% men. That's just flipped for these feral positions. I was surprised to find that feral professionals are actually more diverse than the population as a whole, and I think that this is a terrific and surprise. For me, it was a surprising idea, but just delightful. And I really think that there are signs of progress in terms of diversity in general. Looking at when you isolate the population of people who were hiring. For positions, that population is fairly small, and so it can get lost if you're looking at the population as a whole. If you look at who we're hiring, those statistics are better. It's not that we know that we have a long-standing problem that isn't going to go away. Compensation, I'm going to say more about in just a moment. And they're growing. 7% of the population being feral professionals in 1985, 23% in 2005, and that number having increased about 35% since 2000. So what I'm trying to say here is that this is an immediate right now kind of trend, that the sort of moving away from the MLS degree and moving into areas of expertise that are just not traditional for libraries. Okay, in terms of compensation, these folks are very much different from the rest of us, and this is just something that I don't think that we just need to say this out loud, that there are, if you take paraprofessionals under the age of 35, a quarter of them earn almost as much as the median salary of a department head in ARL, and many of them have salaries that go far beyond this. There is no precedence in librarianship, as far as I know, for a substantial cohort of people who are essentially establishing a second compensation track in libraries like these people are. Management opportunities in terms of the number of department heads, let's say, IT departments in particular are the only departments that have shown substantial growth in the number of department heads over the past 20 years, and most of them actually are declining, some substantially, like Sirius is almost disappearing as a department head. Sort of position, but I think that we shouldn't lose sight of the idea that not only are these people, you know, being hired in great numbers and they're being paid lots of money, but they also are already establishing the sort of toeholds on upper level administrative kind of positions that will serve them well in the coming years. And then the last point being prestige, and here I go back to a book called The System of Professions, which talks about the issue of professions where prestige is derived from something besides straight compensation, and the question being how does that prestige sort of status quo maintain itself in the face of a substantial group of people who are earning substantially more and beginning to take managerial and administrative positions in greater numbers. I think that this is again an issue that we're better off sort of addressing squarely. Now, if there is any consolation in this, when I talk to academic colleagues outside the library about this phenomenon, everyone is experiencing the same kind of phenomenon. If you're in the chemistry department and you want to hire an experienced Unix programmer, there's just no question that you're going to be paying, this is not necessarily an entry-level tenure track sort of salary that you're going to be paying there. So we're not in this alone, and I don't think that we can expect to see the present sort of status quo in terms of prestige sort of eliminated altogether. It just means that there is going to be enormous change there. So the question about the emergence of this disruptive group of strange new librarians, whether this is a good thing. You know, I have been very conscious in thinking about this. How do I say these things without sounding as if I'm threatened by these people? Because I'm really, you know, I don't think we should think of it as a threatening thing at all. I certainly don't mean to convey it that way. What I mean to convey is that it's a different thing, and it's happening quickly and substantially right now. So you could easily argue that these feral professionals are bringing to us skills that are absolutely essential to today's version of what a library does. And I think there is definitely some truth in that. The question is how everything else sort of shakes out with this. I think that there's a tendency that folks tend to have with thinking about these issues is a sort of personalizing them. Well, is this a good thing for me personally? And I think that here is where some danger lies, in the sense that what I'm talking about here are sort of macro trends that are affecting the librarianship writ large. But on the level of the individual, almost anything is possible, and I think that we see this in our libraries all the time. I mean, you can be an over 35, perfectly traditional librarian, and have just amazing things that can happen. I actually think that for almost everybody in academic librarianship, this trend is really a good thing. What I tell my staff periodically is, I ask them to sort of look around the room, and if there's somebody in this room whose job you want, let us know, because we can get you there. You know, we're not going to, it's not in a Machiavellian sort of way. I don't mean that, we're going to throw people out the window, but the point is that that this is a profession where change and development can happen, and if you let us know where you want to go, then we can work with you as a sort of partner to get you there. So really, when I say that I think that these changes are a good thing for almost everybody, I think that what I mean by that is that for anybody with any kind of aptitude for change, there is all sorts of opportunities for development and advancement. Look, if you're just thinking in terms of retirements, that somebody's got to turn off the lights here. I mean, there's going to be all sorts of positions that are going to open up, and the first place we look for staffing to fill needs that we have is within our own libraries. The only people who could possibly lose in this situation, I think, are people who decided long ago exactly the kind of work that they wanted to do, and are determined to do it forever, regardless of whether the work even remains. So we've got plenty of those, actually. I don't know if you've got any here. So with that, I will end my presentation, but I would love to hear any kinds of questions or comments that you have. Thank you very much.
Very much. Very, very interesting.